And welcome! It has been a while, but we are back and we are ready to talk more about monsters, myths, and where to find them. Thank you for joining us again. We got a really good episode planned for you today. Of course,
I am Chris.
We got,
and this is
Chris,
Matt
here.
Snarkle.
So just a little preview, like I said, welcome back. It's been a little while. We have had to
get some things together. But you know, it's glad to be back. We got a good one today. I think it's gonna be a good show. Got some good things. You know, I didn't realize, but I kind of forgot like what the outline of each show that we are going to be doing.
Yeah, let me give you a little recap here. So this is what we're planning for today. So we are looking to discuss about the mythology of werewolves. So how today will go is we're going to pick apart the lore of werewolves from the good old movie Van Helsing, starring Hugh Jackman. We might even throw in a little bit of Twilight, loved ones.
Yeah.
And then we would like to compare the mythology that is portrayed in those movies and look at it in real life history of what werewolves have been portrayed as in ancient times, modern times, and kind of go from where to find those myths.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, this is going to be really good. So, like I said, let's start off with discussing, like I said, our werewolves in general, and then dive into the Van Helsing movie. For those who maybe have not seen it, we'd describe that a little bit. So,
okay, werewolves. I can give you just a quick rundown.
Yeah.
In folklore, a werewolf, a werewolf, man-wolf, or occasionally lycanthrope, is a human with the ability to shapeshift into a wolf, or especially in modern film, therianthropic hybrid.
Ooh.
Nailed it.
Oh.
Wolf-like creature. So either purposely or after being placed under a curse or affliction, often a bite or a scratch from another werewolf, with the transformations occurring on the night of a full moon.
Yeah.
So that description, I do believe, though, is only a recent
add-on to the
mythical thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, early sources for the belief in this ability or affliction called lycanthropy date back, I think we kind of figured it like dated back into Greek mythology.
Yeah, it's all
so I guess
over.
Like
it's interesting.
Second century
BC,
BC.
To the 1500s was
when
the next time
kinda,
it came back.
Yeah, came back in Europe and all across like Russia and even goes down into Asia. They got werecats, a weretiger, or werepanther. So,
but yeah, so yeah, that's what we kind of wanted to discuss this time on our episode. But let's dive into the movie Van Helsing and kind of figure out what the myth looks like in that movie first. So, a little recap of that movie if you haven't seen it. It's an amazing movie, but this isn't a movie critic
review.
So we'll try to be quick with it. But Van Helsing is the main character in that. He works with a group that hunt mythical creatures such as werewolves and vampires, and even Jekyll Hyde is in it.
Right.
He's put on a case to go find and kill a vampire, Count Dracula. And during that time, he encounters a werewolf. I think there's actually a few werewolves in there. So there's an unnamed werewolf, which is released by Dracula to hunt down the last two Valyrians, which are like the hunters, I think. Or the people. That's the family that Dracula's trying to kill. Then Velkin Valerius, he gets bitten. He's one of the family members who are trying to kill Dracula. and then he ends up scratching.
Scratch.
Or biting. Does he bite him? He must bite him because in the Van Helsing storyline. Sorry, hold on.
The dog is getting ruckusy.
Okay. In the Van Helsing storyline of the movie, it says that only its teeth are venomous, causing the infection. Okay. So he must get bit.
Yeah.
He then, Van Helsing, is cursed with the vampire. Not the vampire, the werewolf venom, I guess.
Curse.
So this is where it's interesting in Van Helsing. The werewolves listen to or are controlled by Dracula.
Mm.
So the vampire Dracula kind of uses them and makes them go out to do his bidding. However, if you're a vampire who is about to be turned for the first time on a full moon at midnight, you can control it some reason until the 12th clock
chimes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you, if it during that, those 12 chimes, you kill Dracula, then it breaks the curse. Is how it kind of works. Yeah. So super weird.
Very
Hollywood.
Yeah.
However, the reason why we wanted to kind of discuss this movie is because of how they look. I kind of, when I think of like a werewolf, I've always thought of them like the ones that look in this movie. And how they look are they stand around 7 feet tall on their feet. They have the reverse ankles. I don't know how you describe that. So they have the knees, but then like their ankle is like,
it's like a dog's
back foot. Yeah, like a dog. Yeah. And they have that pointed ears, like a, what are those, Rottweiler? The
Dobermans?
Dobermans, yeah. And their fur color ranges, depending on what it is. They have fingers.
Anubis looking.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yep. Yeah. And, yeah, so I don't know. I find them really cool. When I think of a werewolf, that's what I think of, are the ones from Van Helsing.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, like, when I think of werewolf, I think of like just like a dude who's like hairy
from like those old
from
50
the Teen
movies.
Wolf with Michael J. Fox. Yeah. And they just, it's kind of like Cats, like the musical.
Uh-huh.
But it's like wolves.
Doggy.
And it doesn't look as dumb as Cats, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always, it's like really strong, but they're hairy.
Yep. And so they have superhuman strength, razor sharp claws, superhuman speed. This is again from Van Helsing. Superhuman durability, superhuman agility.
Yeah.
Werewolf
and
venom.
And like you can't kill him with anything. But
except silver.
Silver bullet or silver knife.
Yeah, it's weird. So the silver can kill them. The full moon's what? If the full moon is blocked by clouds, they will revert back to human from until the curse consumes them. Like, what? So weird. And then a werewolf cure, like I was mentioning earlier, Dracula's cure can be purified werewolf's veins of its venom, making them human again. Seems to work only if administered soon before or after the first full moon, the first full moon of their curse.
Mm, okay.
So really interesting. But yeah, this is kind of what I picked up. Or like in the scene in the movie when they're like transforming, they like tear their skin
off. Yeah.
I always just thought that was so cool. And they like climb up the walls, like really dramatically up the wall. And they're like, rah! Yeah, pretty cool. Nothing like what's actually the folklore of werewolves in real life.
So, I mean, like one thing that could be said about that, Hollywood version, I guess, you know, the connection to original folklore, there are some legends of like Viking warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They had been cursed, I guess, and they were like berserker warriors that would wear the coats of wolves, and they would channel the wolf spirit, and that's what made them such
so
fierce,
invincible
fighters.
Yeah,
and it was called like the Ulfhednar.
Oh.
It was what they had.
Yeah.
But and they didn't
Viking?
Really.
Is that Norse?
Yeah, it's a Germanic pagan tradition.
That's interesting.
But they didn't actually turn into wolves. They just possessed like the power from
power.
Odin and channeled the, you know, strength and viciousness from an animal.
Yeah.
So berserkers, I guess, were said to take the spirit of a bear and become crazy fighters. But
that's really interesting. Okay, yeah, that's
so there, and there's lots of these stories of where a man or whatever, you know, was just wearing wolf hide or like a wolf fur belt or something, and
that's what transformed
cursed him. And but it a lot of times, like in the pictures from old cities and stuff, they're not actually like a wolf. They're just like a person wearing a wolf
skin,
and they're acting like a wolf.
So, what about werewolf lore in the Native American culture? Because that's kind of how Twilight. We're going there.
Yeah,
we're going to Twilight. Portrays it, because in Twilight, right. And once again in Twilight, it's also to combat vampires. Like, why is it that in Hollywood,
right,
werewolf and vampires are always paired together? But
exactly. Like, how did that become the typical mythical trope where it's like vampires versus
I feel like that's just a werewolves. Story thing from like the late 1800s, like when Dracula came a thing and the story started to come around in the early 1900s.
Right.
I think it was just a... I don't know, just a writing style that someone thought of. Because I didn't find anything about... I don't know, maybe we have to do an episode on vampires.
Yeah, I think we should.
And kind of see it.
You know, in...
But anyway, in Twilight, it was Native American lore, is how they said it came across to combat vampires. There was like that battle that happened with... what was his name? Utapa or something like that?
In Twilight?
Yeah. And there was these vampires that were killing their tribe.
What's
and,
her name? Chris.
Yeah.
And what's her face?
Was
Pet
able to turn into...
Taylor.
Oh my gosh. So dumb. If you haven't seen that, go look
it
up.
Behind the scenes.
Go find the behind the scenes of those,
so
and it will change your mind.
Is telling him, we're just going to make CGI wolf, okay?
Don't,
so,
just
but
pretend.
Like, instead of making like a big like fake wolf puppet head for her to pet, she just scratches the actor on the head.
So, in like a suit, in like a green suit or something.
Yeah, he's wearing, I think it's
a
not
blue
even a green suit.
Suit.
It's a gray suit.
Like, he had like a hoodie on or something.
With
that's
the, like
it.
Little balls all over.
Yeah, yep. It's great. But yeah, so in Twilight, though, if you actually look up the definition of those werewolves, they're not considered werewolves. They're actually considered shapeshifters.
Oh, okay.
Which makes us kind of wonder if we should discuss if there's a difference between shapeshifters and werewolves. I guess shapeshifters would be just a broad term that werewolves can fall into of that category.
Yeah, because they are a type of shapeshifter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. That's what I'm... Because, it says shapeshifters, often mistaken as werewolves, are descended from the ancient spirit warriors of the Quillette tribe.
So,
from Twilight.
What I found was that, like, the Native American tribes, it's thought that the beliefs of a werewolf type thing in Native American tribes was brought from Norse colonization in the Americas.
Yes.
But then also European colony folk who came to Americas brought their own, like pioneers brought their own werewolf folklore. But I think it's safe to say it originates basically from Europe.
Yeah.
The folklore.
That's what I found. That the most early stories of records of werewolves were from the 15th century.
Right.
But
and it kind of gets mixed together with the Wendigo.
Yeah, and then I was gonna say like the Skinwalker.
And Skinwalker, or just witches
some...
in wolf clothing.
Yeah.
So kinda,
I think it's that's pretty much all I had really on the Hollywood side of werewolves.
Well, I mean, there is so much Hollywood werewolf
involved.
Thing. So like, there's the original werewolf movie. or Wolfman or something
Wolfman.
That came out with like Boris Karloff. You know, there was like Dracula, there was Frankenstein, there was Werewolf or Wolfman, and the Mummy. Those were all came out like in the 50s to 60s or something like that. And that kind of like shaped that, or it didn't really shape, I guess, so much as just took from all these folklores in American history, I guess, and then personified it into a visual form. And then from then on, all the movies are pretty much just based off of that. Of
what it was,
and so specifically like about werewolves, it's off of that Wolfman one.
Yeah.
And everything after that is a guy, he becomes hairy on the full moon. And so it kind of makes me feel like those specific mythical like details, the full moon, the silver bullet or silver knife kills it, you get bit and you transform. I feel like those came from that first
movie. Yeah, because I didn't find anything in the history stories
There's like nothing
about that.
Except
most of them were like burned at the stake if they
except
were caught.
In the in the Greek mythology, there was like a island where it was like a bunch of men were transformed into these wolfmen, but they only changed once a year for like a week. And so it's like the temporariness of the transformation is something that's been around for a long time.
Yes. That usually, yes, that's right. Well, let's dive into some of that. Do you have a break first, or?
I mean, look at the clock. Yeah, we can do a break now.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Okay, welcome back. So, we are ready to dive into more of the early werewolf legends that we have discovered and where to find them. First off, like we were mentioning, I think the earliest records would be from the Greek mythology. The Greek mythology, according to the legend, states that, I don't know how to pronounce this, Lycaon?
Lycaon?
Lycaon. It's spelled Lycaon.
Yeah, maybe
he's the son of Pelasgus.
Greek.
He angered the god Zeus when he served him a meal made from the remains of a sacrificed boy. And for punishment, the enraged Zeus turned Lycaon and his sons into wolves. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the earliest. After that, it starts sparking up again in the European type culture. And Nordic culture around the 15th century, or I think it's around like 1521, I guess. There's a case that I found that I really enjoyed. You can also find this story on the podcast Supernatural, done by Ashley Flowers, I think is her name. And she does a great job explaining the story of this creature. But it was in the around 1500s in France, where there were a lot of these children going missing and being murdered, and they were able to discover that it was some creature that was killing them. There were two possible outcomes that I believe is the most believable. Is one is it was a serial killer that was just dressing up as like a wolf, like we were mentioning earlier, in just like clothing. And the reason why they knew it was someone who was human was because the clothing would always be folded and like put nicely away by the murder scene. Yeah, it was like really weird that like
this like
was
some
an animal
kind of ritual.
Yeah, it was like, why was it, if it was an animal, like how is it folding these clothes and putting them perfectly nice after killing this kid? So that was kind of weird. The second was actually there was a creature involved, and the trainer was like the serial killer, and he was using his animal, which was a silverback hyena, I think is what they were called.
Oh, okay.
During this time, it was really popular to get exotic animals and bring them up into Europe. And there were cases of these hyenas that were mistaken as werewolves because they're huge,
you know, yeah, they're and they big, can
shred people
and they laugh kind of yeah, sounds like human,
it's so. Creepy. So one of the other theories is that it was this person who owned this hyena and was killing people with it. But there was a Frenchman caught called Pierre Bourgault, I think is how you pronounce it. And he was someone who had claimed he was sworn an allegiance with the devil to turn into a wolf, and he was murdering children.
Ah,
so okay. It makes you wonder if he was just crazy or if there was something more
right
serious involved, right? And right. So from there, you go into 16th century, still having same types of stories of a wolf viciously killed children and ate them. Called the Werewolf of Dole was a 16th century folklore mm-hmm. in French history. And it just keeps going on from there. Germany has stories of them as well. The Nordic, like we were talking about, has them as well. But all of them involve some type of ritual, at least when they're caught. And they, before they kill them, they're always like, hey, sold my soul to the devil. Or I have this coat that I put on and turn into a werewolf, or I have a belt, as well as another story that I found how they wore this belt that gave them the powers. And most of them, when they were caught, or if caught, they were burned at the stake. So it just makes you wonder, like, were they crazy, or is there actually something, I don't know, more
right involved? So yeah, modern medicine, I guess I should say, has tried to explain the werewolf or lycanthropy as a type of psychosis, much similar to the Wendigo psychosis. So it's like clinical lycanthropy is what it's called, where it's like a person develops this bloodlust and they go and kill yeah. and they're like an animal. And so, you know, it could be that an these people are doing that.
Disease with serial killer in mind, psychopath.
You know, or they're, you know, being cursed. And so, like, a lot of the witch trials that were going on in, like, 1600s, there were a few cases that were...
Werewolf trials. Yeah, that's right.
So...
where they just had to find and they blamed that they were a werewolf and put them to death. And they mm-hmm. might have not been. They're just someone innocent. Another one was cases of another medical case was hypertrichosis. So the overgrowth of hair. And there was an actual documented case in 1725 of, what was his name? Peter the Wild Boy, where mm-hmm. he was found in the German forests and he couldn't really talk. And he was adopted by King George the First and King George the Second and lived as their pet in England. I know it's kind of sad, but it also going into psychology now here in this podcast is that if kids miss, there's a certain window where if they miss right. the language development, they can never learn.
Yeah. There are language. Cases that are more recent, like
yeah,
where in they, the last like 20 years where kids are kept.
Terrible conditions, but
like they are a dog, yeah, and they think they are a dog,
and so that's very likely that this Peter the Wild Boy could have been in that type of situation where he...
But scientists say that was a rare or is a rare occurrence, and so the fact that there has been like thousands of claimed werewolf sightings, or you know, there have been werewolves way more often than this rare mm-hmm. hypertrichosis or whatever it's yeah. called, the hairiness, actually occurs. It's likely that could have, you know, a person with that condition may have spawned, you know, the legend yeah. about them being furry or and hairy all the time.
Even
or,
if, you but, haven't, if you haven't already listened to our Wendigo podcast, I'd recommend go and listen to that. Because in that, like we mentioned, it was maybe just a way to answer these really whacked out things that were happening. You know, like modern times we have sociopaths and pedophiles. And who says that that wasn't a thing back then? that was happening, or if someone had like food poisoning or rabies or hallucinations due to some mushrooms that they ate and go on a kill spree, you know? And then this legend comes around of that it was a werewolf, even though it was just some, you know, whacked out person or something. I'm still curious to know why a lot of the lore has something to do with some magical, not magical, but I don't know how to word it, like a power source that they were using, like a coat or a belt to turn them into a werewolf. And that's what kind of changed into a moon, I guess, for the Hollywood. But I want to know, I don't know, because that's a reoccurring thing that is in other myths in history. I know for like witches in like Latin culture, there's objects that are used as well to turn yourself into something or to change. For example, like I personally have encountered people who practiced witchcraft who had come across oils that they state could turn them invisible.
Whoa.
So, you know, so that's just something that I feel like might be a reoccurring, thing in history, that there's some object involved. I don't know. Something to think about.
Right. And it would be, I guess, uncool of us to not mention the long history of werewolves in France during the 1600s. I mean, we kind of touched on a little bit what you mentioned, the accusations in witch trials, but they were just werewolves. It was werewolfery.
Werewolf trials.
Yeah. But it was actually like super common from in the like late 16th century to early 17th century. So they were like all the time. They thought these people were turning into werewolves because they were eating children and like just killing like
that was just
tons
like
of people. Like one guy.
There's another kid. There's another werewolf.
Yeah, and I read here, it was like a teenage werewolf was sentenced to life imprisonment in Bordeaux. So they were like really,
really into
they were like, you are a werewolf. And
like the witches.
And they send them off, you know.
Salem. Wow.
They're convicted as a werewolf. And there was one in Gevaden. Not sure how to pronounce
that. Germany or France still?
It's still French, but I don't know how to pronounce it right. and it says it killed upwards of 80 men, women, and children. So they still didn't. Whoa. I don't think they ever caught this. They just called it the Beast of Gevaden. Gevaden. So I don't know if they ever caught it. And they never found out if it was a man or a woman. So
I want to know modern stories now. Like, there has to be modern stories. It's just so hard to believe if it's a true story or not from like a modern sighting of a werewolf.
Well, and we have a far better understanding of like mental illness now, because it's now believed that a lot of these, even back then. So it says here, after 1650, belief in lycanthropy had mostly disappeared from French-speaking Europe, as evidence in
just like
Diderot's encyclopedia, which attributed reports of lycanthropy to a disorder of the brain.
So it must have just been like an answer to solve, you know, to answer this question of
right.
These people
so when they
dying
didn't understand
in such crazy ways.
Science, they would say it was magic or something. So
because there's some pretty whacked out murders that happen nowadays that, you know, would look like a werewolf, but it's just someone.
Right. It's very beast-like the way they killed someone. So, but now we kind of understand a little bit more, not totally, but what can happen to a person in certain situations. Like the children who are raised to believe they are a dog and they're treated like a dog, they basically become a dog. So,
That's interesting.
What do
I'd
we
love
have?
To have some French listeners tell us about some of these stories if they know any.
And I think it's probably, I think it's still something that's rooted in like French culture, because there's like that French game, the werewolf one. I forget what it's called now.
Isn't it just called Werewolf?
I think that's what we call it in English, but it's a little different. And you have to like find the wolf
werewolf
and...
that's turning people or killing people each time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty fun game.
Yeah.
So how are we going to wrap this up?
Oh, one last thing, actually. Real quick, did we touch on the locations of where werewolves kind of come from?
A little
bit. And then we can wrap it up, I guess, at the very end. So are we going to say then it's mostly French and it kind of spreads from there?
Well,
kind of the strong point?
I mean, I would say more so go back before the French. Into the like Germanic tribes,
mm-hmm.
and the pagan beliefs, but we said we've got that Greek, which was before,
was pretty early.
Those pagan, I mean, not far before.
And then what about like the Asian culture?
And then there's
when
a
was
few
that
Asian
around?
Occurrences where I don't really have a date on that. But it's like were equivalents, so it's were mm-hmm. tiger or were leopard.
Yeah. Okay.
In the Asian culture, so like, comic Turkic folklore holds a different type of thing twist on it, I guess. So, and it's like you were saying, it's just like they do some kind of ritual, and they get the powers they. Transform, they're able to transform. So
I don't know, I feel like when we start diving into witches or skinwalkers, that will play a part. I think there's a key to where that myth comes from of there's some part of getting some power just from personal experiences that I've seen, and there's I think a little bit of truth to those stories. I don't think it's just a coincidence that, you know, there's these old 1500 story from France that has someone who has a, you know, an object that gives them power. There might be some little truth to that. But in general, I think modern now, like you were saying, is that a lot of it just wasn't explainable, I think is our conclusion, is that there are just a lot of random serial killers that this was their way to answer it, I think is the final conclusion.
Right, yeah. And because there's no way a human could do such things.
No way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the werewolf in London.
And where to find it. The monsters, werewolves. And
yeah.
This is where
monsters,
you will find
myths,
it.
And where to find them.
Thank you for joining us. Again, like always, please write us in. You can write to us, contact us on Instagram as well. We're there. If you have any stories, we would love to hear them, or even creatures that you'd like us
to. Let's try and get a listener story.
Yeah, we would love to be able to put that out of like a modern story of something, and then we could even target that mythical creature that time. But yeah, like I said, we look forward to speaking to the next monsters out there. The vampire,
we'll
skinwalkers, witches,
Dracula, or something.
Yeah.
Good stuff on that.
There's some good ones out there that we're looking to do.
The werewolf. All right.
All right. Thank you. And we'll talk to
you next time.
Until next time.
Keep searching.